on Audio, the podcast for writers and all who are interested in books, literature, and the printed word. Write on Audio is the weekly companion podcast of Write On magazine and the Write On suite of publications from Pen to Print. Subscribe by searching Pen to Print in your favourite podcast app to have new editions delivered to you each week. Write On Audio writing tips, inspiring your writing by sharing tips from prominent authors. Our October writing tips come from Andreas Luizu and Daisy Buchanan of the Margate Bookie Literary Festival, which takes place between the 19th and 22nd of October at venues around the town of Margate in Kent. Both Andreas and Daisy are successful writers, and their tips begin with some information about the festival and their involvement in it. Here are Daisy and Andreas to introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Daisy Buchanan. I am the author of several novels. The latest novel is Limelight. I host the Your Book podcast, where I interview iconic authors about their reading habits and how those books have shaped them as readers. I run the Creative Confidence Clinic, a writing school on Substack, and I live in Margate. And I'm very excited about the upcoming Margate Bookie, where I am going to be interviewing some literary legends, including Tessa Hadley, Yomi Adegoke, Lou Sanders, and many more.
Hi there, my name's Andreas Luizu and I'm the founder and CEO of Margate Bookie. I write business books and I teach people how to write, especially in people in the financial world. I grew up in Margate when it was no good, when it wasn't as fashionable as it is now. And I started the Margate Bookie about 7 or 8 years ago. So we started with a single room in a disused warehouse and an audience largely composed of friends and family. I think I knew everyone in the audience, and now it's grown massively. This year's Margate Bookie is from the 19th to the 22nd of October. We'll be appearing at Dreamland, Turner Gallery, the Margate School, Justine's Nightclub, loads of places over town. So this year's Margate Bookie has a host of absolutely huge stars, most of them, funnily enough, being interviewed by Daisy. But among that list, we've got Adam Kay, Deborah Levy, Rob Newman. We've just added Grace Dent to the bill. There's A.C. Grayling, the huge children's author, A.F. Steadman, Mickey Berenji, just loads and loads of people who you wouldn't normally expect to be talking about their books in Margate.
My first writing tip is this: write little and often. When we get ideas, we get very, very excited. And I can certainly sit down and pour everything out onto the page and spend hours and hours and hours writing. And then I step away and I stop and I don't want to go back to it the next day or the day after. And then it's been a week or then it's been a month and I get scared of it. And I start again. The more we write, the more we want to write. I really, really wish that I could tell you that we have plenty of friendly muses and inspiration will strike all the time. The fact is, it's a habit. And like so many habits, we've just got to do it, even if we don't want to do it. I think it is better to write 100 words a day than 1,000 words once a week, especially if you're a new writer and you really want to get the habit going. You don't have to write every single day, but the more days you write, the more days you want to write.
Well, I think that's very, very sensible advice, which is exactly what I would expect from Daisy. So I'm going to just like run with that a little bit. What I'd like to talk about is kind of three bits of advice that really, really annoyed me as a kind of fledgling writer until I understood what people actually meant. And one of the ideas that people always say, it's kind of what Daisy said, is like you've got to kind of clock on, you've got to sit down and work. And this made me think about one of the great cliches that people talk about when they talk about creativity is the difference between left brain and right brain people. And apparently, if you're very left brain, you're very, very organized. So I'm kind of a relatively organized person. So I find it very easy to do to-do lists or to clock in at 7 a.m. and to find that 20, 30 minutes before, you know, my daughter wakes up and all hell breaks loose to start writing. People then sort of kind of slightly critical of me because they say, you're going to be very analytical and you're not going to be very emotional. And the people that say that would say that they are very, very right brain, which is much more emotional. And it's traditionally what we think about when we think about creativity. And what this silly idea creates in our heads is that our brains are somehow split. Now, the psychologists that first studied, and the psychiatrists that first studied these ideas, their aim was completely the opposite. They wanted to show how the two hemispheres of the brain were united, how you need both organization and emotions to produce writing that's compelling. So don't ever think just because you're super organized, you can't be creative. And don't ever think that just because you find yourself kind of emotionally a bit all over the place, that you can't get your act together and do those 100 words, those 200 words every morning. It's a mixture of both. And the great thing is we have the hardware and we have the software. Imagine if you were completely 100% analytical or completely 100% emotional, you wouldn't get anything done, not just in writing, but in your life. All of us are a mixture of the both.
Andreas talked about our left brains and right brains and the myth that we're either one thing or the other. I love this idea that we have hardware and software. And I think the best software program we can possibly write on our brain is books. The thing that has taught me the most about writing is reading. I have always been a big reader. And also, I think that reading now more than ever stimulates and relaxes us at the same time. It's so nourishing, it's so nurturing. And I don't believe it really matters what you read. It's okay if you want to read a Booker Prize winner, all power to your elbow. If Spot the Dog is stimulating you creatively, if it's soothing you and making you feel more imaginative and you're doing it regularly, that's wonderful. I love to reread. There are certain writers whose novels have brought me a lot of comfort and joy. I love Marion Keyes, and I will always pick up an old Marion Keyes book if I'm feeling blue. But rereading those books has taught me so much about technique, especially if you want to write a novel. I think the first time you read a story, you want to know what the story is. And when you go back in again, your brain does start to notice how certain effects are achieved, how an author uses dialogue, how an author uses pace. When the author is playful in terms of holding back information that they're then going to reveal to you, and when an author is really guiding you through the story. So I think that if you're not writing, don't feel guilty about not writing. Read something instead. There are so many books out there. And also, the more you read, the wider your reading remit will become. And it's great as well to read stuff you hate. Read wonderful stuff that inspires you. Read stuff that makes you more aware of the writer that you're not going to be. It's a great way to develop your voice, and it's very relaxing.
Well, that's great. Isn't it really interesting what Daisy has said there about developing your voice? That's a perfect link to what I'm going to go into. And again, it fits in with the rereading. I think you can only really do this, what I'm going to suggest now, if you're on a rereading a book. I've got to ask you, Daisy, actually, what other books have you read a lot of times?
That is a great question. The children's book, Ballet Shoes by Noel Stratfield, I tend to revisit once a year. And the thing that fascinates me about that book is that Noel Stratfield has this uncanny knack for making quite dull administrative details about children getting their performing licenses in the 1930s. She makes them absolutely compelling. And I think that those children's books really remind me of the way I felt the first time I read something. As a novelist, that's always what I want to create for the reader, that feeling of being immersed in the world and not questioning the world.
What a great answer. Let me run with what Daisy was talking about there when she's suggesting that rereading is going to give you your voice. Now, the second bit of advice I used to always hear, which really made me annoyed, was like, oh, your voice will come, or you have to find your voice. And I thought, oh, maybe I can help my voice. So what I do now, I sometimes work with nonfiction writers and with fiction writers who are struggling to find the tone, the character that they're creating, their kind of point of view voice. And what I always recommend is go back to the people you like and draw out their characteristics. So I'm just going to quickly, you know, If you're into this idea at the moment, I'll just give you 10 words, 10 words you could be. You could be angry or organized or emotional or witty or sincere or cynical or curious or philosophical or caring. What are the characteristics that you want to show as a writer? And then go back to the books that you've loved, and I bet you'll find those things there. So for me, My big writing spurt, kind of the bit that took me from child to adult, was when I had a job making ice creams on Margate Beach one summer when it rained every day. And Mr. George, who's really kind, let me go to the library to get books out. And I read all of George Orwell that summer. And the characteristics that he shows, he's intelligent, but he knows how to use humour. He's done his homework. He's had real experiences. You know, I hate people that bluff. I hate people that make up things that haven't happened to them. All those positive characteristics, I hope, feed into my voice as a writer. Now, I'm not saying I copy him. I've got other influences as well. But I've always liked the phrase, we are the sum of our influences. And I think if you want to look for a voice that's maybe different from what you're feeling at the moment, go back to the writers that you loved and identify what appeals to you. Not about their plots or the content or, you know, or their picture or how they look, but their voice. What is it that they put across that chimes with you?
I love that idea from Andreas, and it makes me think as well about how classic painters started by going away and imitating the classics a generation ago. I think that, you know, writing is no different from visual art in that way. I think that question of voice is really interesting as well, because when you're a writer, you spend a lot of time in your own head. And you could be trying to nail your writing voice, the voice of the characters, the voice that makes readers want to stay with you. But you, or certainly I, can have another very, very negative voice in my head that tells me I can't do it, that tells me I sound ridiculous, that tells me it's no good. The last tip I want to give, which is less a practical tip and more general advice, is if you feel as though it's going horribly wrong and you can't do it, that's not necessarily true. That's something that all writers experience. And I don't think that you have to be uniquely talented or able to not feel that. The difference between someone who's written a novel and someone who hasn't is the novelist is able to sit and keep their bottom in the chair and think, well, this is horrible, but I'm going to keep doing it and keep writing and thinking and it will pass. And the other thing I was going to say kind of contradicts that, which is when it's getting a little much in the chair and you can't bear the sound of the voice in your head anymore, it might be time to get up and do some exercise. I am the last person in the world to recommend exercise to anyone. I am not sporty, but I find that I feel so much better when I get up. I like to go to the gym. I like to go for a run. A brisk walk will do it. I think it's lovely to be outside if you can get outside, because that really does, I think it changes the blood flow, what's going on in your head. It changes your perspective, you know, literally and figuratively. It does just make you feel a lot better. And when you are writing and concentrating really hard, it's easy to let time slip by and you get that awful feeling. Well, I've been here for hours and I don't feel like I've done anything. And that's time to get up and move around. I think people who are drawn to writing probably aren't nature's exercises. And I would certainly put myself in that category. And that's when I think, oh, I will feel better if I leave the house and do something that raises my heart rate slightly.
Well, I think that's really interesting. I'd like to talk a little bit about three characteristics about creating your ideal writing conditions. And I split this into time, space, and noise. And I think if you can think about these and work them out, and somehow in your routine get them into your life, you'll be fine. Time. There's a very distinct body clock for writing, and we're all different. I am completely and utterly Mr. Early Morning. So I often, unfortunately, wake up at 5:30. I always have done. And I find that's a brilliant time to write and to create and just get stuff done. And so, you know, if you have a really good morning by 7 a.m., I'm literally done, which means that like, the sofa is free, like, for the rest of the day. Other people like to write at night. A lot of people like to edit during the wee small hours as well. No one in their right mind does anything good in the afternoon. Okay, that's just another body clock thing. If you can find the time that works for you, listen to your body, look at your output, not just the quantity, but the quality as well. Find that time, because 20 minutes at the right time is better than 5 hours when you're feeling grim. So the first thing is time. The second one is the space where you write. Now, some people are very, very lucky and they feel they can write anywhere. These are the people you see writing in a coffee bar, back of a taxi, kind of standing up in a pub. Other people are quite ritualistic. It's like, I must have this table, I must have this chair, I must have the lucky cardigan. All of this is about triggers. There's something in the lucky cardigan or that pen or that piece of paper or that Kindle, whatever it is, that tells your brain to start writing. Find out what that is and maybe combine it with Daisy's idea. That brisk walk along Margate Beach gives you 15, 20 minutes to think about stuff. And when you come in, have your paper there, have your computer there, have your voice recorder there. And then start writing. The third element here is noise. Now, this is a really weird one. Most writers, if you ask them, they say, I demand absolute silence. Their ideal world is a really kind of empty library. Now, I don't think that always works for people. Sometimes the silence is oppressive and it doesn't let you produce. Other people, the smaller group, like places that are noisy. They get buzzed up by interactions. These are the more extrovert writers, and these are actually the people that don't mind if someone interrupts them after 10 minutes and says, how's it going? And they'll just say, yeah, it's good or it's bad, but they like that little bit of energy actually perks them up. Other than more introverted writers hate that. When you find your ideal combination of time, space, and noise, you're golden. You'll be such a better writer. Allow yourself to be a little bit flexible. Try things that you haven't tried in the past. It's a very good, very cheap investment of your time.
Really hope that's been useful. I've certainly learned a lot from Andreas. If any of this appealed, then we'd love to see you at the Margate Bookie. Come and talk to us, hang out with Andreas and me or any of the all-star writers who'll be around signing their books. You can ask them for their writing tips, their creative hacks, whether they have a lucky cardigan that they write in. Really hope to see you there. It's a lovely, friendly literary festival. And if you want to be among writers and get your creative juices flowing, I can't think of a better way to spend a weekend.
That's great, Daisy. Yeah, please come. It's very, very friendly. There are loads of like really big name writers who are kind of like want to talk to you. I know you want to talk to them, but they want to share. They've been in lockdown for 3 years as well. They're desperate to get out and meet humans again. So, book is really, really open. It's very much a question. You turn up, even you turn up on your own, turns the person on your left or on your right, they'll be into books. You can talk to them. They may have got kind of a Pulitzer Prize. You just don't know. It is that sort of place. It's a great place for picking up tips and contacts and hacks and techniques. So hopefully see you there on October the 19th to the 22nd down in Margate.
Thank you for these wonderful writing tips from Andreas Luizu and Daisy Buchanan. You can find out more about the Margate Bookie Literary Festival, which runs from the 19th to the 22nd of October, by visiting the festival website at margatebookie.com. As always, we'll post this and other links so you can find out more about our guests and the festival in the show notes for this podcast. We're always delighted to read your contributions, so if you'd like to see your words in Write On or hear them on this podcast, please get in touch. We'll share this link and all others mentioned in today's podcast as part of our show notes. I've been Tiffany Clare, and you've been listening to Write On Audio. Write On Audio is produced by Chris Gregory, and it's an alternative stories production for Pen to Print. This podcast is supported using public funding by Arts Council England.